New Hampshire residents alternatives to the standard electric energy suppliers. More information online at enhpower.com. And from our Leadership Circle donors, including Sue Cholet and Penny Patu and Milo Pipe. A news update from Washington and Concord in our forecast, including a peak at the weekend that could include some snow. That's next. These are the stations of New Hampshire Public Radio, WEVO Concord 89.1, WEVS Nashua 88.3, WEVH Hanover 91.3, WEVN Keene 90.7, WEVC Gorham 107.1, WEVJ Jackson 99.5, WEVF Colebrook 90.3, and WEVQ Littleton 91.9. Also, W282AB Dover at 104.3, W217BH Littleton at 91.3, W280DG Portsmouth at 103.9, W247AO Plymouth at 97.3, and W289BT Colebrook at 105.7 FM. And heard online at nhpr.org.
Almost 40 years ago, UMass Professor Ray Budd conceived the idea of a new kind of education called charter schools. They were public, yet independently operated without tuition, religious affiliation, or selective student admissions. In parts of the country, they took off, but in New Hampshire, the first one didn't open until 2004. Since then, it's been a bit of a roller coaster for them, at times getting funding to create more schools and add more students, while at other times struggling to stay afloat. Also, they faced some criticism about who attends charter schools and if their students succeed any more than their public counterparts. But now there's new hope. In her budget address, Governor Hassan promised more funding, but with a condition that these schools focus on underserved parts of the state. I'm Laura Kanoy, and today in The Exchange, new chances for New Hampshire's charter schools. That's after the news here on NHPR.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Paul Brown. A bombing in the heart of Damascus, Syria today as the rebellion inches closer to the heart of the regime. A car bomb exploded near the headquarters of the ruling Ba'ath Party. More than 30 people are reported dead, though the exact number cannot be independently confirmed. British Foreign Secretary William Hague says his message to Syria's President Bashar al-Assad is that it's time to go.
Such destruction, such loss of life, such a threat to the stability of the whole region should not be endured because one person wishes to stay in power.
Speaking in Brussels, Hague calls on Assad to respond seriously to a dialogue offer recently made by an opposition leader. South Africa's prosecuting authority says the timing of attempted murder charges against its lead investigator is totally weird, and it acknowledges he should be dropped from the murder case against Olympic runner Oscar Pistorius. He is in the third day of a hearing to determine whether he should be granted bail, that is Pistorius. NPR's Ophebia Quist-Arkton reports the investigator who is facing attempted murder charges has also dealt a setback to the prosecution with his testimony.
Prosecutors describe the shooting death of Riva Steenkamp as premeditated murder. Not so, says Oscar Pistorius's uncle, Arnold Pistorius.
He's not a violent person. He's a peacemaker, and that's his nature. He looked tough, and he looked like the superstar, but he's actually a very, very kind, soft person.
The lead investigator in the case was forced to admit in court on Wednesday that he had not yet found evidence to contradict Pistorius's claim that he mistakenly shot his girlfriend. Ophebia Quist-Arkton, NPR News, Dakar.
Florida has become the seventh Republican-led state to announce it will expand its Medicaid program under the Affordable Care Act next year. As NPR's Julie Ravna reports, the decision marks a reversal by one of the law's most outspoken critics.
When the Supreme Court ruled last summer that the health law was constitutional, Governor Rick Scott vowed he would still not participate in the measure, but now he's changed his mind, at least about Medicaid.
Quality health care should be accessible and affordable for all Floridians. It shouldn't depend on your zip code or your tax bracket.
A former hospital executive, Scott said his decision was influenced by the recent death of his mother, but he was also heavily lobbied by Florida hospitals, who worried about foregoing billions in federal funding if the state refused the Medicaid money. Florida's expansion could provide insurance for more than 1 million people. Julie Rovner, NPR News.
The Obama administration is reportedly considering urging the Supreme Court to overturn California's ban on same-sex marriage. The White House has a week to file a friend of the court brief on the issue. This is NPR News.
It's 9:04. I'm Rick Ganley with New Hampshire Public Radio News. The New Hampshire House of Representatives voted 188 to 151 to repeal the education tax credit that took effect less than 2 months ago. That law grants an 85% tax credit to businesses that donate to scholarship organizations, which give the money to students going to private or out-of-district public schools or even homeschooling. Those who favor repeal, like Concord Democrat Mary Stuart Guile, equate it to a voucher program and say it's unconstitutional.
Business profit tax or business enterprise tax revenue is diverted to an intermediary nonprofit scholarship organization and could be used as tuition to religious schools.
The law also faces a constitutional challenge. A state superior court is expected to issue a decision in April. Opponents of the repeal say the program offers educational choice to low and middle-income families and say the law should be given a chance to work before it's judged. The repeal still has to go through the Republican-controlled Senate, where leadership has indicated it would not favor repeal. New Hampshire's Executive Council has approved a $9.4 million contract to design the final leg of the Interstate 93 widening project. The Eagle Tribune reports that work includes the design for widening 4 miles of Interstate 93 from Windham to Derry. Contract approval comes as state officials consider how to fund the estimated $250 million in work remaining to be completed between now and 2020. Senator Chuck Morse of Salem is pushing for authorization of a casino to help pay for highway work. This is NHPR.
Support for NPR comes from Carnegie Corporation of New York, a foundation created to do what Andrew Carnegie called real and permanent good, celebrating 100 years of philanthropy.
And support for New Hampshire Public Radio comes from you, our members, and from Jaguar Exeter, introducing instinctive all-wheel drive on the new 2013 Jaguar XJ. Agile, responsive, and refined. Jaguar XJ, built for New Hampshire driving. JaguarExeter.com. And New Hampshire's community colleges committed to increasing the number of science, technology, engineering, and math graduates in New Hampshire. CCSNH.edu. Today's forecast, cloudy skies in the North Country with some snow showers, some sun to the south with a chance of flurries this afternoon. It'll be windy at times across the state with highs of 25 to 35. Some clouds overnight, temperatures from 10 to 20. Partly to mostly sunny Friday, we'll see temperatures reaching 30 to 40 degrees and keeping an eye on a potential nor'easter Saturday night and into Sunday. I'm Rick Ganley. This is New Hampshire Public Radio News. It's 9:06.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Canoy, and this is The Exchange. Charter school supporters found a lot to cheer in Governor Maggie Hassan's new budget. These public school alternatives have had an up-and-down history in New Hampshire, including a high-profile tangle between the State Board of Education and the legislature last fall, in which the board put a moratorium on approval of new state-chartered schools because it said the legislature had failed to appropriate the money. Then last week, in her budget address, Governor Hassan effectively called for a lifting of that moratorium, saying she'd add more funding, but only under certain conditions.
These charter schools have a responsibility to live within their budgets. And so this budget sets new parameters and provides authority for the Department of Education to prioritize new charter schools' approval to underserved communities.
Now Granite State is within the charter school movement and outside it, awaiting to see what the legislature will do, especially given mixed sentiments about charter schools in the House and Senate. Also, many wonder how the state board will interpret the governor's call for a focus on underserved communities, how it will define who's underserved and who is not. Today in The Exchange, yet another new chapter for charter schools in the state. Let's hear from you. Do you have experience with these schools in your area, either as a parent or a teacher or a student? What's your opinion of the merits of charter schools, given that experience? And overall, do you think charter schools improve public education in New Hampshire, or are there other methods, other models we should look at? Give us a call. Tell us what you think. The Exchange number, 1-800-892-6477. 1-800-892-NHPR. Send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org, or you can post a comment on our Facebook page. With me in studio is Scott McGillivray, president of the National Education Association of New Hampshire, the Teachers Union, and a lobbyist for the NEA. And Scott, welcome back. Good to see you.
Good to see you, too. Thanks for having me in.
Also with us, Tom Raffio, chairman of the New Hampshire State Board of Education and president and CEO of Northeast Delta Dental. And Tom, welcome. Good to have you.
Good morning, Laura.
Also with us, Thomas Frischknecht, chairman of the board for the Academy of Science and Design Charter School in Nashua, founder and president of the Founders Academy Foundation. That's an organization petitioning for a new charter school. And Thomas, nice to meet you. Thank you for being here as well.
Thank you, Laura.
Well, and since you've been involved both in setting up a charter school in Nashua, Thomas, and also now on the board of this organization trying to set up another one, just give us a basic definition, if you could, Thomas. What are we talking about here? What's the difference between a regular public school and a public charter school?
A charter school is a public school that is publicly funded, but a school of choice. So in other words, a family with a student that is interested has to make the choice whether they want to be part of a charter school or not. It's a school basically that is mission-driven. Mission-driven in the sense that you can have a mission like, for example, focusing on science, technology, engineering, mathematics. Could be arts, music. It could be an at-risk children mission. Many different ways to harvest that type of an organization, but that's what it is.
And they're often called alternative public schools, like you said, mission-driven, publicly funded. Also, sometimes people emphasize, Thomas, in this definition, independently operated. What does that mean?
We have a little more autonomy. We have more flexibility how to govern the school. So the school is governed by a board of trustees that reports, in our case, directly to the State Board of Education, actually. In that, we have certain flexibilities how we hire our own staff, faculty. So, for example, we have more flexibility in hiring licensed teachers versus not licensed teachers versus bringing some industry experience into the faculty, so we have more in-depth knowledge inside the faculty.
So a little bit of freedom from the regular
Yes.
rules surrounding public schools. What's the perceived need, Tom Raffio, that charter schools are filling, that regular public schools are not filling? If they weren't filling a need, they wouldn't be there.
Well, I think as Thomas says, we believe at the State Board of Ed that there's definitely a niche in the educational system for charter schools. For example, the one in the North Country, Laura, has done a great job in almost eliminating the high school dropout rate in the North Country, as one example. The ones I have visited, such as Strong Foundations, one here in Pembroke, has an emphasis on reading. So as Thomas said, it has a niche, and the charter school can focus on that niche, smaller class sizes and so forth. And candidly, the children that I've observed do thrive in those environments.
Yeah, although national studies have questioned whether charter school students really have better outcomes than regular public school students. And I'll get into that with you perhaps later. But how would you describe, Tom, just to the uninitiated, and a lot of people still don't really understand what charter schools are, what the biggest difference is between a regular public school and a charter school?
Well, I think Thomas hit it. The governance of the school has more flexibility. There's less standards that the regular public schools have to, and that I don't mean that in a negative sense. I just think that the teachers can be more creative. And sometimes the comments I get from high school principals and other people that I talk to in the field say if the regular public schools had that same sort of flexibility, they may get the same type of results in the charter school. But actually, Thomas described it great, which is, there's a board of trustees. They have more flexibility in terms of the governance and the curriculum, smaller class sizes, and certain niche there for students thriving, definitely.
Yeah, and to you, Scott, the National Education Association teachers, public school teachers in regular schools have had questions about charter schools over the years. What are some of the questions that you folks have about these schools?
Well, certainly, nationally, we've certainly raised a lot of questions. But here in New Hampshire, I think it's great that we have charter schools the New Hampshire way. They're very focused, and they're a supplement to our public schools. They fill a gap. Tom mentioned the North Country Charter Academy. That filled a need and a gap for to fill the dropout rate or to reduce that, almost eliminated in the North Country. And so it really provided a supplement to it. I think that the charter schools really are very focused, focused in geography, where they're located for that specific need of the student, and that they're focused in their target. They target very specific groups of kids that needs aren't being met for whatever reason in the public schools, whether that is, they're at risk of dropping out, or maybe in some instances the gifted and talented programs, which have traditionally been cut out of public school budgets, that they fill that supplemental need. So focused and supplemental the New Hampshire way.
Mm, so you've touched on this, but give us a little bit more. I'm interested in what you say, Scott, the New Hampshire way.
Right. Well, there's two different ways that charter schools can become a charter school. You
right.
know, one going through the State Board of Ed or through a local process where you open up conversation, can put it as a warrant article, and the town citizens have the ability to say that they want their tax dollars to go to fund a local targeted supplemental need in their community, much like Penacook and the Merrimack Valley Charter School, where the local control, it's much different than on the national level, where charter schools really have been put in to bash education and bash our public schools. We're not doing that in New Hampshire. It's a small amount of schools for a very targeted, focused group of students.
And, and Laura, Scott said something very important in the middle of that, which was that some of the best charter schools are the ones that cooperate very fully with the local regular public school. So that type of cooperation is helpful in the thriving of the New Hampshire public charter schools.
Here we have Governor Hassan. Did you want to jump in, Thomas?
Yeah, just on Scott's comment, geography, that might be in some cases true, but for example, in our case, that's not. We are having students from 31 school districts at ASD.
Wow, in Nashua. That's
in
where
Nashua,
your school is.
They're driving in. So there's a great demand, a great need, much beyond a simple little local district, as Scott has referenced.
Well, and I definitely want to ask you all about that idea of underserved communities, perhaps overserved communities when it comes to charter schools. But I also want to invite our listeners to join us. The number here in the exchange is 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange@nhpr.org. Today in the exchange, we're taking another look at charter schools, given that Governor Hassan in her budget called for restoration of funding to these alternative public schools, but under certain conditions, which we'll talk about in a minute. The number here in the exchange, 1-800-892-6477. If you have personal experience with charter schools as a parent, a student, or a teacher, what do you think the merits are? Do you think these schools help improve public education, or are there other ways to do that, other models, other methods? Again, our number, 1-800-892-6477. So, Thomas, back to you. So here we are, Governor Hassan saying she'd like to see more funding, but with certain conditions, including a focus on underserved communities. How do you interpret that, Thomas? Are we talking about geography, too many in the southern tier, not enough in the Lakes region? Or are we talking about certain types of students who, for one reason or another, haven't had access to charter schools?
I think it could be understood in different ways. It could be regionally. It could be, inner city. It could be many different ways understood. But the way I understand it is also that an underserved child an underserved target could be a child, simply. We have, for example, an example in from Nashua, a student that was failing in the Nashua school district, a sixth grader that the local district basically said, we cannot do anything with that child anymore. And the mother was totally devastated and didn't know what to do anymore. Teachers were not willing and able to work anymore with him. So she heard about our school, and she came to us, to ASD, and says, could you help? Please try it at least. And we did. That child failed in that school, literally.
In the regular public school.
In the regular public school. We gave it a try. We worked with the child. And last year, she scored a 700 perfect on the SAT.
Wow. You know, when we talk about underserved communities, 2 years ago, we looked at a series of investigative reports in the Telegraph of Nashua that indicated charter schools were not serving low-income kids, or at least very few, almost no kids for whom English was a second language. So is that a focus, Thomas, that we should also have, that you know, disadvantaged children, to use a broad term, are not going to a lot of these schools.
I think that's I don't think that's true. That's not what I see. We have students from all walks of life coming to our schools. And I think that's a misconception in the public.
Okay. We will follow up after a short break. Lots more to talk about. We're also going to go to the state legislature and hear from a Republican and Democratic state lawmaker about how they see the future charter schools in New Hampshire. That plus your calls. So stay with us.
Good morning, 919, and more on a new chance for charter schools coming up on The Exchange, and a 10 on the Diane Rehm Show debate over the use of domestic drones. You have a unique set of experiences and expertise, and NHPR would like you to help us with our news coverage. Join our Public Insight Network and let us know which stories we should consult you on. Find out more about PIN at nhpr.org. New Hampshire weather today, clouds and scattered snow showers in northern New Hampshire, highs around 25 degrees. Southern parts of the state could see a little bit of sunshine, possibility of a few snow shower flurries too. Windy statewide, highs today 30 to 35. Support for NHPR comes from you, our members, and from Gripponi Auto Group, featuring multiple lines of fuel-efficient, environmentally friendly cars at Gripponi Auto Junction in Bow and online 24 hours a day at gripponi.com. And the NEEP Network organizations working with the New Hampshire Department of Education to increase the college aspirations of local students at iamcollegebound.org. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, another chance for charter schools, possible new funding after Governor Hassan revived the issue in her budget. We invite you to join us at 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. You can also post a comment on our Facebook page. And Tom Raffio and Scott McGilver, I did want to also briefly raise with you the concern that some people have. Tom, I'll turn to you first. That charter schools are not serving low-income kids, are not serving, you know, refugee kids, kids for whom English is a second language, that it's more the middle to upper-middle-class parents who have the time, interest, and wherewithal to get involved in these schools. What do you think?
Well, it's just in the application process, we look at that, and we want to make sure that it's not just the children of the founders. There's definitely a lottery process. I think, candidly, probably the charter schools could probably do a better job of outreach and making people aware that these charter school alternatives exist. But there is a lottery process. We look at that when we look at the application. The critique that we've given charter school advocates is that they could probably do a better job of outreaching and communicating to all populations that a charter school alternative exists.
Yeah, for example, driving. There's no public transportation to a charter school. So if you want your kid to go, you have to figure out transportation. If you're a poor person working three jobs, you're probably not going to be able to do that. So that's an issue. Thomas, go ahead, and then Scott.
Exactly. In the busing, except with some of the local districts, like in Nashua, for example, the district
sharing.
Agreed to provide us busing for Nashua children, which is great.
Right, and that makes my point that the best charter schools are the ones that have the cooperation with the regular public schools.
Yeah. And we do appreciate that.
Yeah. Scott, go ahead.
Certainly, I think that's what Governor Hassan meant in her budget address, is that we're going to target very specific groups of kids that are underserved now. ELL students would
English
be an
language
example.
English learners, yeah.
Right. That would be an example, maybe in Manchester, where you have a high population of English language learners. There might be an opportunity there to target that very specific group and focus in on those students.
Joining us now, gentlemen, are two people in the legislature who will be looking a lot at this. With us on the phone is Representative Mary Stuart Guile. She's a Democrat and chair of the House Education Committee, and State Senator Nancy Stiles, a Republican and chair of the Senate Health, Education, and Human Services Committee. And Representative Guile, I'll turn to you first. Thanks for being with us. And how do House Democrats feel about Governor Hassan's call for more charter school funding?
Oh, good morning, Laura.
Good morning.
At this point, the House Democrats are very proud of the charter schools that have been established. The Virtual Learning Academy School, for example, on the seacoast, which serves children all throughout New Hampshire, is a model for the country. And we're very proud of that. And we're also very aware of the successes of the charter schools that are what we see as laboratories of innovation and flexibility, where they're trying different ideas relative to reaching children and helping them to succeed in their learning. But there are some questions relative to the increasing proliferation of applications for charter schools. And so as far as the House Education Committee is concerned, we received four bills this session, and we've decided that what we'd like to do is retain some of the bills and look at the status of charter schools and their impact on public education. So, and I think the Democrats as a whole are supportive of that, to take a look at, you know, what is the relationship between the publicly funded charter schools and the local public schools. How can they complement each other in better ways?
So are you supportive then, Representative Guile, of Governor Hassan's call for more funding, or are you saying, let's hold off for a little while and look at this a little more deeply?
Well, we're saying we want the charter schools. The first one was started in 2005, and so we feel they've had a period of time to demonstrate their effectiveness. I am supportive, and I'm sure the committee is supportive of Governor Hassan's perspective on them to be more geographically distributed around the state. We know there are heavy concentrations, for example, for obvious reasons, in Manchester and Nashua, but the North Country, you know, they're sort of scattered. And so we certainly support that. But we want to be assured that they are providing a high-quality educational alternative and that the students are benefiting from their experiences.
Well, and State Senator Nancy Stiles, let's get you in. Again, a Republican, chair of the Senate Health, Education, and Human Services Committee. How about Senate Republican Senator Stiles? How are they feeling about this call for more charter school funding? Yeah, good morning.
Well, I don't know if I can speak for all of the Republicans, but basically we do support charter schools. And I appreciate the governor's recognition and support for charter school expansion. I believe that we need to take some time, though, to take a look at how we can accommodate within the biennium so that we can appropriately budget for those in the budgeting process. And Representative Guile and I have had some conversations about bringing this issue before the Charter School Oversight Committee and taking a look at the application process and the growth and the process that might need some change going forward.
Yeah, Governor Hassan, I'll throw this to you, Senator Stiles. She said that she wanted more funding for charter schools, but under certain conditions that they focus on, quote, underserved communities. What does that mean to you, Senator Stiles? Does that mean geographic distribution, you know, too many in the cities, not enough in the country? Or does it mean, you know, kids with learning disabilities, kids with English as a second language, for example?
Well, I really can't speak for the governor.
Yeah.
But
what do you think it should be?
It could be either one.
Yeah.
I think the great thing about our charter schools is that they all seem to have a magnet. So there's it's a cross between a charter school and a magnet school. It's not like some of the cookie cutter charter schools that we see in other parts of the country. And that magnet draws that student. And I have visited most of the charter schools, I think all of them, and I have witnessed those students being totally engaged because they have that magnet. They have that combined interest. And that's what is successful for those particular children. So charter schools are open to any groups to form and then attract the individuals that have that interest. So it could be, a subject. It could be a situation. It could be many things. But that's the good part about the things that we do in New Hampshire.
What do you think, Representative Guile? What's the next step in this process for you as a state lawmaker? You guys have the power of the purse, after all.
Well, certainly we want to look at how the students are doing. If the charter schools are developing in order to better meet the needs of our students, then that should be our first perspective, and then possibly to make recommendations around those findings. The underserved population can indeed include children from who have learning problems, have special learning needs, or who are living in our so-called disadvantaged learners. And we really would like to see if the experiences that they're having in the charter school alternative if they are there, are making a difference in helping them succeed in their educational experience.
And Senator Stiles, I'm sure you remember last year when there was a question over whether the state board should approve new charter schools or not, given that there might not have been the money for those schools. What do you think? Should the state board wait for the budget process to be done in June before it goes ahead and approves new charters, just to make sure the cash is there?
Well, I think that's one of the reasons why, as I suggested earlier, that the oversight for charter schools needs to have that discussion. How does everything fit into place so that when we do go through the budgeting process, we can appropriately budget for the needs?
All right. Both of you, I know you have a busy day there at the State House, so I will let you go. Senator Stiles, thank you for being with us.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Laura. Appreciate it. And everyone else, have a great day.
All right. That's State Senator Nancy Stiles, Republican from Hampton, chair of the Senate Health, Education, and Human Services Committee. And Representative Guile, good to have you, too. Thank you.
Thank you, Laura. It's good to talk with you and enjoy the day.
That's State Representative Mary Stuart Guile, Democrat from Concord and chair of the House Education Committee. One more time, the exchange number for you to join us is 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. Again, 1-800-892-6477. And Tom Raffio, you're chair of the State Board of Education, and I did mention that, I don't know what to call it, dust up, mix up
Brouhaha.
Last fall. Last fall, where you folks at the state board said, look, we can't approve any new charters until the legislature gives us the money. I don't want to revisit that whole argument. We did a whole show on it last fall. But here's the question. What did we learn from that whole mix-up, Tom?
I think we learned that we've got to do a better job of communicating. I mean, the short of that issue last year was because the charter schools, the 17 in operation, are thriving and the enrollments are increasing, that we were short about $4.4 million for the existing charter schools, which ultimately was approved. The law had changed a few years ago, which only allowed the department to go 10% over the charter school budget, and so we didn't have the $4.4 million. And once we got the $4.4 million, that took care of the schools in operation. And then going forward, we can't entertain any applications until we know what the budget is for the new charter schools.
So if I came to you with an application tomorrow and I would say, hey, can you give me an answer next week? You would say, no, Laura, I have to wait until the budget is finalized to make sure I have the money for that.
Correct. But what we are doing is looking at all the other criteria, you know, the staffing, the academic goals, to make sure that it's not flawed in any other ways. And so once the funding situation is solved, we can move rapidly at that point.
All right, let's go to our calls and emails. Oh, Thomas, did you want to jump in? Go ahead.
I'll follow up on this. Are you saying that the applications that are in process or are filed, that they are being reviewed right now?
What I'm saying, Thomas, and that's a good question, is I've asked the commissioner and her team to make sure that we're looking at these applications, particularly the ones that are, there's four or five that are pretty ripe and very detailed, and that we want to not have a situation where the funding gets solved, but then it's short on curriculum goals. We want to give the charter school applicants ongoing feedback so once the funding is resolved, let's say in June, that they don't get held up for another reason.
All right. Let's take some calls from our listeners. The number 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange at nhpr.org. And first to Hooksett, where Michelle is waiting. Hi, Michelle. Thanks for hanging on there. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, and thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I am a parent of two children and have homeschooled and now have a child in public school who is in the Gifted and Talented program but is still not being served particularly well by the public schools. So we are looking at charter school options for next year. And what we've found, we live in the southern tier of New Hampshire, and there are a number of great options for the elementary years that offer opportunities for kids to learn at their own pace and learn in their own ways. But as we look at the future, after they finish that K-6 learning, there are not many options for middle school or high school for those intellectually curious kids. The options then tend to focus more on kids that need, I don't want to say remedial, but more assisted learning as opposed to kids that are more self-directed learners. So there have been discussions in the meetings I've gone to at the charter schools about if I put my kid in this school and they learn at their own pace, and they're happy, and they're curious, and they hit sixth grade, where do we go from there?
And
there
is,
really aren't many options.
Is private school an option for you, Michelle, or can you not afford that?
Well, I can't personally afford it, and I think a number of people are looking at charter schools because the public schools aren't an option, and private schools too expensive. And right now, for us personally as a family, we basically know if we put our children in the charter schools, we are making the decision that at the end of sixth grade, we will be homeschooling.
Yeah.
Because there just isn't another option.
Okay, Michelle, thanks for calling in. Real quick, I think to you, Thomas, lots of options, K through 6, K through 8, but not a whole lot for high school.
I think that's a fair point to make. There have been a lot of charters that have been approved of, I think, the 17 schools that are in place right now.
Mm-hmm.
There are K to 6, mainly K to 6, some on to 8. I think there is a need, a real need for charter schools that are in the middle and high school 6 to 12 for New Hampshire. That's, for example, the school that I have been proposed, the Founders Academy, is a 6 to 12 school, as an example.
Sixth grade, 6 through 12, so
yes.
All the way up through high school. Scott McGillivray, a question for you coming out of Michelle's call. And Michelle, thanks for being with us. This is what we hear often when we do these programs from parents. Public schools just weren't working for my kid. Why do you think so many people want this option? What's wrong with the regular public schools that people are seeking a charter school option?
It's not what's wrong. It's that the public schools are educating far more students than you are in a charter school. The charter schools are very focused for a particular need, much smaller in size and in scope. And they're providing a supplement. If you look at districts across the state and their school budgets, which are all tight, oftentimes one of the first things cut is a program like Michelle's child seems to need, which
the
is
gifted,
a gift,
and
gifted and talented. The public schools tend to budgets have traditionally cut those programs.
So here's the question then. What if, Scott, instead of taking resources and setting up a separate new charter school, districts took the resources and invested in those gifted and talented programs, in those math and science programs? I mean, why do we need a whole separate system? Why not just use the funding? This is the question that comes up. To make the regular public schools great, so Michelle's kids and other kids will thrive there.
Certainly, it's an argument. That people have tax dollars are limited. The governor's budget called for $18 million in funding
for charter schools.
Certainly, I think it makes sense the way in which the governor did that, which is to fund new charter schools from the repeal of the voucher tax credits, which was. Repealed yesterday in the House and now will go over to the Senate, but it's also part of her budget. So finding the funding to develop new charter schools through the elimination of the vouchers that were voted in the last legislative session was a very good move.
Yeah, what do you think, Thomas? Again, you've worked on founding one charter school, hoping to found another one in Nashua. I mean, could we take that $18 million and just make our regular public schools better?
I don't think it works that way. I think that's we have a fundamental problem. Most districts today, and correct me if I'm wrong, Tom, are between about $13,000 to $18,000 total revenue per student. A charter school today has $5,450 allocated
from the state.
It's moving up to about $5,900, but correct.
Yeah. Yes, and so the fact is that we are. Working on a third of the budget on providing, we are outperforming everything else, every other district basically that is in New Hampshire. So the argument I think doesn't work. So
the argument why not take the money that's going for charter schools and put it into regular public
charter schools. Focus on specific areas. They are specializing in a mission in a specific focus area like STEM.
Science, technology, math,
yeah,
engineering,
excuse me.
And math.
Yes, science, technology, engineering, mathematics, correct, yes, or arts and music and so on.
Here's an email that came up. Thanks for that call, Michelle. Here's an email from Josh in Hooksett. With the significant needs in special education services, are charter schools serving less students who receive special education services? Josh says, I'm not sure how the funding occurs between charter and public schools, but if charter schools have a set amount of funds and students, are public schools having to deal with a larger financial burden when providing services to students with disabilities? This is another point that's come up, Tom Raffio, that the public schools take all comers, including kids with significant needs, and that's expensive.
It is, and that's the point that Scott made. They have to take all comers, and as I said earlier today, I mean, if some of the creativity in smaller classes could be done in a regular public school, we could address it. I do agree with Thomas, though, that I'm not sure that applying, you know, $18 million to the regular public school system would have the same effect as the 17 charter schools, you know, that are in operation. But clearly, the special education question is one that we wrestle with as well.
Do charter schools serve kids with special education? Let's just say 10% of the student population has special needs, and I'm just pulling that number out of the air. Would you find the equivalent number of special needs kids in the state's charter schools? Thomas?
They're actually higher.
Higher?
Yes. We have a huge percentage of kids with IEPs or 504s.
Those are individual education plans.
That's
required.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's because they are, you know, special in one way and they're underdeveloped maybe in other areas. And that's normal. That comes with the territory.
Right. Everybody's got different learning styles and strengths and weaknesses, as we know now. We will take a lot more of your calls and emails after a short break, so keep it right here.
Support for NHPR comes from UR members and the New Hampshire Dental Society's Give Kids a Smile campaign, helping children and families across New Hampshire through February. Information, dates, and locations at nhds.org. And from CGI Business Solutions, a strategic business partner providing companies large and small with HRIS technology and solutions, online at cgibenefitsgroup.com. Good morning, it's 9:40. This is NHPR.
Next time on the TED Radio Hour, we go back to school.
Our education system has mined our minds in the way that we've strip-mined the earth for a particular commodity. And for the future, it won't serve us. We have to rethink the fundamental principles on which we're educating our children.
Building a Better Classroom. Next time on the TED Radio Hour from NPR.
This Saturday at 1 p.m. on NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Tomorrow in The Exchange, constitutionally speaking, about the Second Amendment, what the founders really meant, and how we interpret the words today. Email us your thoughts at nhpr.org and join us tomorrow morning live at 9. Today in The Exchange, the possible restoration of funding for New Hampshire charter schools. Join us if you have experience yourself with charter schools in your community, either as a teacher, a student, a parent, a board member. What do you see as the merits of charter schools? Do you think that these alternative public schools, as they're called, help improve public education overall in the Granite State? Are there other ways to do that, other models, other methods that you think we should look at? Give us a call. Tell us what you think. The exchange number, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. You can also post a comment on our Facebook page. And, gentlemen, let's go back to the phones. And Virginia's calling in from Newport. Hi, Virginia. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Good morning, Laura. Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I wanted to let you know that there is a charter school in Manchester called MC2, Making Community Connections, which specifically targets emerging Americans and students for whom English is not their primary language. And they've been open since September. I serve on the board of directors there. And we have many students for whom English is not their first language. They're undercredited and overaged, and a good percentage of them also have come with IEPs.
So they're older students because they were in another country, so it's hard for them to just jump right into the American curriculum. Is that it, Virginia?
That's part of it, exactly. And then some of them are students who have behavior challenges and just don't make it in the Manchester public school system and need an alternative learning style, which is what we provide.
I think I've heard of this school, actually. And I think one time when we did a charter school program, we actually had the head of that school on. One last question for you, Virginia, if I could, and I appreciate you calling. Is there a danger of segregating these kids, you know, separate but equal, so to speak? I mean, in one sense, I can see that their special needs need to be focused on, but in the other sense, you want them to be with everybody else.
Exactly, and you try to balance your enrollment that way so that you have kids who don't have some of the issues and concerns that some of these students have. You try to make sure that your population is balanced. Unfortunately, as a public school, you have to take whoever applies as long as you can meet their needs. And it is a delicate balance. We hope to open a second school in Newport in the fall, and it will sort of address the concerns that the lady from, I think, Hooksett called, This is at the request of Montessori parents who don't have any place to send their kids after the eighth grade.
Okay. Virginia, thanks a lot for calling in. And that's certainly an issue that someone raised earlier. I believe it was Michelle.
And I just want to echo the making community connections. It started with 50, and now it's about at 100 students. And we do get reports, by the way, this question that one of the representatives asked. We do get reports from all the charter schools with the outcomes. But obviously, making community connections has definitely served a need, and it's doubled in enrollment.
Again, our number here in the exchange for you to join us, 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. You can also post a comment on our Facebook page, the number 1-800-892-6477. Here's an email from Jim in Goffstown. It says, the present discussion of charter schools concerns targeted funding to new schools that meet certain criteria, as though current funding to state-authorized schools is considered adequate. Jim says an elephant in the room is that current state-authorized charters operate about half the funding received by regular public schools. Is this level sustainable? And if not, what should be done to ensure the sustainability of present charter schools? Tom Raffio, I think that's for you. Go ahead.
Well, we look at that, and as Thomas and both of I have mentioned, there are 17 that are up and running. They get the $5,450 per student by the state. That's moving up slightly. There's an 18th school opening up in the fall, and what the charter schools do is they supplement or augment the $5,450 with a lot of private funding, a lot of passionate parents on the board, the trustees, doing the fundraising. So we definitely look at long-term financial sustainability before we approve the school initially.
All right, let's take another call, and this is Ray in Pembroke. Hi, Ray, go ahead. You're on the air. Welcome.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to find out from the participants whether or not having the budget not be approved to June means that we have an entire year lag or a fallow period between when schools are going to be opening, because to ramp up between June and September, assuming that the budget, allows those schools to be approved, is a very short period of time. And I really wonder whether or not that can actually happen. So by this, break in the funding from last fall to June, are we missing a whole year worth of new schools opening?
Sure. It's a short time frame, isn't it, between June and September? Ray, are you involved in the Strong Foundations charter school there in Pembroke?
No, I'm actually on the board of the Pace Career Academy that's in Allenstown, and I'm a contractor for the Department of Education reviewing each new charter school application.
Okay. Ray, thanks a lot for calling in. Thomas, you're kind of in a similar situation, aren't you? You helped set up one charter school in Nashua, but you're trying to set up another one, the Founders Academy. So you're kind of in the same situation, waiting for the funding to be approved in June, by June.
Yes. Two, 3 months would be a very short period of time to get ready for charter school. But that's why the charter schools in the pipeline, the seven or eight that are in question that have filed applications, most of them are actually getting ready as we speak, trying to ramp up and get ready in case that they get approval that they can actually execute and get ready. But, going back to Academy for Science and Design, we opened that school up in a three-month period.
So it can be done, even though it's kind of tight.
It is hard.
The caller's point is correct. I mean, that is the dilemma. If the budget's not approved until June, that's the June state board meeting is the first time we'll be able to entertain those applications. But as I said earlier, we're going to try to give feedback to the applications that are ripe. I'm not talking about just letters of intent, but the applications that are ripe, we're going to try to give those founders feedback, so when they come before us in June, they'll have all their ducks in a row.
Yeah, before where the dollars are set. I do want to go back to our callers and invite Nick on the air. Hi, Nick, calling in from Dover. Go ahead. Nick, go ahead. You're on the air. You need to turn your radio down there.
I do want to go back to our callers.
Okay. Nick, I think you need to call back. All right. So hopefully he will call us back. Did you want to jump in also, Scott, on the question of whether school should be approved when the funding is still up in the air?
Well, certainly. We all want students to succeed. Tax dollars are limited. We would not support reducing the adequacy, which is only $3,300 for public schools. At the same time, charter schools are going to get more money. That's why I feel that what Governor Hassan did by putting it in her budget, the repeal of the vouchers and funding any new charter schools with the voucher tax credit that she put in her budget is appropriate. We need to make sure that our public schools' adequacy funding is not reduced. It actually should be increased, but it is only $3,300.
So the adequacy grant, and I know this sounds really technical, but the adequacy grant per student that local public schools get is
$3,300.
Charter schools get about $54.50, and that's because they don't get local district funding. Is that correct, Nick? Is that correct, Scott?
Correct. That's a formula that they used, the legislature has done. And then there's supplemental money for English language learners, IEP students, other, you know, categories that you can increase, you know, free and reduced lunch students. You can increase your funding both at the charter school and public schools.
Okay. You want to jump in there, Thomas? I can see.
Yeah, but I think, making the point of that local districts only get $3,450 is a misrepresentation, and we get $5,450. I mean, like you said, local districts are giving tax dollars, local tax dollars, to those at local schools.
And charter schools don't have access
to
that.
We don't have that. We have $5,450 we have to work with. We have a fixed budget. If at the end of the month we don't balance, end of the year we don't balance the budget, we have a problem. We have to balance budgets. We cannot just simply go to the town and say we need more tax dollars and therefore let's give us more money because we can't pay our bills. Doesn't work with charter schools. We are fully accountable. As Thomas mentioned before, we are accountable. We are held accountable.
So you get that extra padding from grants and donations and fundraising and
we
so
do,
forth.
We do, but we are striving hard to balance budgets. We are on shoestrings in some areas. But yes, we do get, whether it's toilet paper or money, we get those donations. So I have to push back on the notion that we are taking somehow money away or being somehow exclusive because we get $2,000 more.
Let's take another call. I think Nick from Dover is back with us. Hi, Nick. Are you ready?
Hi. Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm just curious if the charter school teachers are going through the same strict evaluation process that the teachers in Mass and all over the country are going through right now with this race to the top.
Evaluations and standards and so forth. Are charter school teachers, Nick, subject to those same requirements? Is that what you're asking?
Yes.
Yeah. All of you, maybe you first, Tom. This is a complaint we hear from public school teachers that they have so much in terms of paperwork and requirements and race to the top and standardized testing. Common Core. And who knows what's coming down the pike next week. You know, that they kind of are burdened by these things and that they might be able to do more innovative teaching methods if they weren't so overburdened by all the regulations and paperwork.
I don't disagree. And I've mentioned this twice in the show, which is that the charter school teachers definitely have more flexibility than the regular public school. That's not to say that we as a state board and as the founders of the charter schools aren't looking at the competencies of the teachers. There's definitely still a degree of rigor, but Thomas would agree that definitely charter school teachers have more flexibility, including you can have a real world experience having a teacher who may not have the same credentials as a public school teacher.
So what's the answer there, Tom? Then is the answer to say, it's too bad for the public school teachers, or is the answer to help the public school teachers out a little bit with this?
Well, I think that's really what Governor Hassan was trying to say in her remarks, is we've got to take a step back. We now have 18 charter schools. If we approve more, we're going to reach that 20 benchmark. We want to take a step back and say, from a public policy perspective, are there other ways to address the students' needs, and we always start every state board. It's all about the students, so we want to take a step back. When I started in 2007, there were 324 charter school students, and now there's over 3,000. So clearly, it's a big jump. It's thriving, but questions that we have to answer as a society in New Hampshire is, do we want 50 charter schools running around? You know, we had always said way back in 2005 and 2006, once we reached about 20, we want to take a step back. And those questions that you just raised and Scott has raised, I think that will be part of that sort of overall analysis.
Well, and since we're going to the big picture there, Tom, here's my last question for you all, gentlemen. The New York Times recently put out an editorial on some research from Stanford University showing that overall, this is nationwide now, not New Hampshire, charter schools are no better in terms of educational outcomes. Sometimes they are actually worse than regular public schools. Tracking 25 states, it found that 17% of charter schools provided a better education 37% actually provided a worse education. Again, New Hampshire's different, but what do you think about this, Thomas? What's the message here to New Hampshire as it looks to expand charter schools? It's not necessarily given that they're always better for kids.
Well, again, it's a school of choice. It's a rigorous, they usually have a very rigorous program, and that's why not everybody maybe wants to join or can join even, because, you know, we counsel parents when they apply and in the admissions process whether it's a good fit or maybe the child will struggle because we will have a rigorous program.
It's tough, you're saying.
It is tough, you know. I mean, we are focused in a specific mission, and if, for example, the child is not mission has no interest, for example, in STEM. In our case, I mean, you have to know what.
Sometimes
you're
it's
into.
Mom and dad who are more interested than the child.
Exactly.
Is that what you're saying?
Sometimes that happens. Yes, but so we help in that decision process. But I have to say, New Hampshire maybe is a little bit different. I don't think that article or that comment I can agree with. First of all, we are held to the same standards as public schools in regards to the measuring and guidelines on the Common Core and NECAP and so on. In fact,
so you guys have to do all that testing
we
too?
We have to too. In fact, we just, if you look at the latest NECAP test that just came out 2 weeks ago, our school, Academy of Science and Design, was the number one in New Hampshire, period.
Wow.
And again, the other point is these are public charter schools. Not all charter schools are public in the rest of the country. And as I mentioned earlier, the ones that sort of work with the local school district, whether it's the North Country example that Scott gave or the fact that in Thomas's case, the regular public school is providing the transportation. When the local regular public school is working with the charter schools, that's when you get the best result.
And Scott, I want to hear from you too on this. You know, Tom Raffio said, look, once the idea has always been once New Hampshire reaches 20, it needs to take a big look at charter schools, what role they're filling, how they might be improved, what their relationship is with the regular public schools. What do you think? What do you want to see happen as New Hampshire goes forward with this, especially given that Governor Hassan does want to provide more funding?
Yeah, just certainly. I concur with Tom. I think it's a good time to step back and take a look, not only at what we're doing with charter schools, but also what we're doing with our public schools. Are we funding them adequately? Are the restrictions and certainly the standards that we're holding, the educators and the administrators, are they what we need in New Hampshire? Tom mentioned the Common Core. That's the largest thing coming down in public education in the last 25 years. You know, are we going to be able to deal with issues like that appropriately in both our charter schools and our public schools so that we're both in it for the same business? We want all our students to succeed. And we need to make sure that that we're funding and overseeing both public and charter schools appropriately. So I would fully support the State Board of Ed in taking a closer look at both entities.
So do you think that the public schools and the charter schools are getting adequate funding? That's the term that's always used.
If you can educate a kid on $3,300, I'd like to see it.
But there is local money.
There is local money, but there's a great variety. We don't have equality across the state. I mean, I taught for 25 years in Manchester, and they're educating kids around $9,000, where you can go over to Portsmouth, and they're educating kids at $14,000, $15,000. So we don't have equality throughout the state in all our districts. And it's time that we take a thorough look at both charter and public schools and where we're heading with education in the state of New Hampshire.
Okay. And Thomas, real quick.
I think the key is that if we say stepping back and looking at the large picture, charter schools should not be singled out. It should be all the public schools, and they should work together, not just being singled out, taking back and simply saying, well, we want to wait with charter schools. I think that's the wrong approach.
Okay.
And
all of you.
And as the State Board of Ed, we agree with that. And remember, it's all about the children.
All right. I want to thank all of you very much for coming in. I have the feeling we'll be talking about this again. Thomas Frischnicht, it was nice to meet you. Thank you for coming in. I appreciate
Same
it.
Same to you.
Thomas Frischnicht, he's chairman of the board for the Academy for Science and Design Charter School in Nashua, founder of the Founders Academy Foundation. That's an organization petitioning for a new charter school. Tom Raffio, good to see you. Thank you.
Good to see you, Laura, too.
Tom Raffio, chairman of the New Hampshire State Board of Education, president and CEO of Northeast Delta Dental, And Scott McGillivray, thank you for being
here
as well.
Thank you for having me in.
Scott McGillivray, president of the National Education Association of New Hampshire and a lobbyist for the NEA. The Exchange is a production of New Hampshire Public Radio. The engineer is Dan Colgan. Our producer is Ellen Grimm. Our volunteer is Priscilla Malcolm. Our intern is Faith Mikesell. Our theme music was composed by Bob Lord. The Exchange's executive producer is Keith Shields. And I'm Laura Kanoy.
The views expressed in this program are those of the individuals and not those of NHPR, its Board of Trustees, or its underwriters. If you missed any part of today's program, listen to The Exchange